on the line now. I've got Nuala Smith, Operations Manager of Dress for Success. Good afternoon, Nuala. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Give us a little bit of 2011 Dress for Success. Tell us about it.
So, Sonia Lennon, who some people might remember from a show called Off the Rails, had kind of, I suppose she reached a point in her life where she felt she had a little bit of something to give back, and she wanted to find something that met her where she was in her own life and her own life experience. So she initially very much looked at doing something with children, but then when she looked a bit deeper into it, she really felt that actually she wanted to focus on supporting mothers, because she felt if you support a woman to be happy and content and like have her own sense of confidence in who she is, that will have a much stronger impact on her family and the community around her. So when she came across the idea of Dress for Success, which is a worldwide organisation, she was she just thought it was a perfect fit for her own experience and background in fashion, and like the connections that she would have in supporting an organisation like Dress for Success gets established in Dublin.
Okay, and very successful herself and Brendan have been, of course, over the years. That's Brendan Courtney.
And their own business has really taken off. The line in like Dunn Stores is it's a sellout every time they launch a new line. So she really gets women, and you know that just comes out of her own experience, mm-hmm. and knowing what works for people herself.
The fingers.
So it's great to see.
Yeah, the finger's right there on the pulse in fashion, isn't it? And what suits people. Okay, now this campaign you have, obviously it's across the board. It's not just in entertainment, it's in every jobs, in fashion, in every atmosphere of work. So this is a month campaign.
It's across the board. I suppose what we try and do in Dress for Success is support women to economic independence. So we do that by supporting women with a suiting service where we suit them so they look appropriate for interview, and that in itself gives people confidence. So when they walk in and they sit in front of an employer, they know that they're looking at their best, they feel that, and that impacts on their performance at interview. But we also offer career and interview coaching, so people can come in for a one-to-one career clinic. And they get advice through the career clinic on how to mould their CV, how to present themselves best at interview, how to value their experience, or just maybe help with like looking at what their options are. Because if you've been out of work for 5 years, maybe, jobs have changed. And you don't, sometimes you look at a job description and you don't even understand what it is. Mm-hmm. So out of that kind of core service, we really started to see a need that although women were landing jobs, they weren't necessarily landing well-paid jobs, or they weren't necessarily landing jobs that were going to help them, I suppose, move away from like difficult economic circumstances at home. And part of our response to that is looking at the pay difference between women and men earning the same or doing the same job. And there's an increasing move of women into poverty. And one of the issues is that women don't earn equal wages for an equal work. So that's something that we said we'd have to look at addressing.
Okay.
So this campaign is 3 years old now. And as of today, if a woman is doing the same equivalent job as a man, she'd actually be working for free for the rest of the year.
Okay. So the disparity there is obvious. I mean, it's a worldwide campaign, really, isn't it?
It is. And it's a different figure in different economies. So in Ireland, we're not too bad, as in the disparity is hovers around 14% most years. Other economies have a disparity, and in other economies, it's a little bit worse. But like the point is that there should be zero difference. So
indeed, yeah.
Even though we're not too bad, we could still be that 14% better.
Okay.
So that's what we're trying to work towards. Yeah.
But it seems to be awkward to the extent when you go in, as you say, you do the interview and you get the job, But how easy do you think it will be for pay disclosure? Because, I mean, a lot of firms are not happy with that. A lot of workers are not happy with that. I get paid for what I do, and that's my business. That's the attitude that you have. How easy will it be to open that up?
I think that's going to be difficult. So in the UK, they led first with a pay disclosure legislation, and that threw up a lot of kind of issues in pay differential. And you've seen last year with, like I suppose, scandals, for want of a better word, coming out about the difference between what certain broadcasters were paid in the BBC, also even in RTE, the difference in some of what some broadcasters were paid for similar work. And across the board, a lot of industries, when they actually went and looked at what they paid women and what they paid men, there were discrepancies thrown up. So we are also, as well as the equal pay campaign itself, where we bring awareness to the issue, we are calling on organisations and businesses to join us at the minute in to become pay pioneers, where we are bringing in some of the top consultants from the UK to give advice on analysing your data, looking at what your wage discrepancies are, and then how can you make those changes ahead of legislation being brought in here by the Irish government. Mm-hmm. And I imagine lots of other governments will follow with that legislation as well, not just in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it's going to be a little bit harder in the entertainment business to get equal pay to the extent of description, job description to an extent. I mean, there are some women in broadcasting here to get more than some men, and they're just maybe doing the same errors, maybe not the same job, but, well, maybe even the same job, but maybe because their popularity, that's what they get paid for more than the actual work they do. So how do you manage that? Is that okay?
Yeah, I there's always going to be, like, I suppose what we're talking about is scales. So there's always maybe going to be someone hired in who is more experienced, or someone who has, like, you know, if you look at kind of the move towards social media, some people might have a bigger following on social media, and that might be the reason that they were hired, or whatever it might be. But I think that's a difference based on experience and talent rather than gender. So, for example, Sonia and Brendan will tell the story about when Sonia and Brendan were both relatively as well known as each other. Brendan was offered more money than Sonia when they started the show together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that at the start of your wages, and every year maybe you get to go up by 5% or, you know, 7%, depending on how generous an increase you're offered, that your actual take home is actually the discrepancy between that is going to grow and grow every year. So it's just important that we're not saying that there'll never be a little bit of a difference between people's wages, but what we are saying is that we'd like to get to a point where people kind of get the scale. So when you go in and you're going to take up, say, an admin role in the HSE at the moment, you know what the starting scale is for that job. You know what to expect. And it just gives you a better negotiation kind of starting point around wages when you take up a job for the first time.
Okay, I suppose.
And it means you know where to value yourself.
Yeah, take the discrimination out of the equation altogether when someone comes in, they're coming in as a person.
Yeah.
Go on.
It won't be perfect, but it could be bandwidth, you know, so that you have for a junior IT role, that it's going to be that you're starting out in 25 grand or between 25 and 28 grand, so that you're within a close proximity to your colleagues.
Okay, now the Irish government has committed to introducing the legislation. How long do you think it's going to take them, though? Sometimes when they say we're going to do this, it takes them a long time. They're very slow in everything they seem to do.
I think it's, like, you know, there's probably other pieces of legislation that are considered more important, and that's where it falls back on Dress for Success and other organisations like ourselves, is to, I suppose, to keep the pressure on and to hold them to account. And, like, if it's this time next year and we're still talking about introducing legislation and there's been no move in it, like, again, we'd have to kind of say, okay, well, we want to move beyond just talking about it. But we have actually worked with Lorraine Clifford-Lee in the Senate, and we've established an equal pay cross-parliamentary committee in the Dáil. So that kind of helps us look at what will people, like, across the parties, to start to generate kind of goodwill and interest in the topic and to move the legislation forward.
Okay, well, let's hope it's sooner rather than later. There's lots more we could talk about, but I know you're very, very busy. So, but thank you for talking to us here on AIR-FM today. And people can look up dressforsuccessdublin.org/workequal for all the information on the campaign. Is that correct?
That's brilliant, yes. Correct. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Nuala.
Thanks for
thank
having
you.
Us on.
Thank you.
Thanks
bye.
So bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, and that's Nuala Smith, Operations Manager of Dress for Success. And that website again is dressforsuccessdublin.org/workequal/.